Welcome to the Crossings Church podcast, where we connect people to God and others. And now, here's this week's message.
Great to see you here at Second Service today. We're starting our series on Love God, and I think this is really important. If I were to say, if you could get one thing straight in your life, it would be love God, and everything else has a way of falling into place. So I want to start this morning, though, by going with a verse that's actually not on our screen. So if you have a Bible, go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's a passage that the Jews would literally quote every morning when they awoke. And it was this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." This is called the Shema, and it's this passage of scripture that the Jewish people would quote every single day. In fact, the Jewish people of Jesus' day, the Pharisees made a thing called a phylactery, which was a small wooden box covered with leather with straps, and they would take this box and they'd literally tie it, they'd bind it to their forehead so they'd have the Bible near them. It's kind of like, how many of you ever slept with your Bible under your pillow? Nobody. Okay. They wanted to make sure it was near. They wanted to know that, hey, this is so important, I'm going to put it right here. And this brings us to Luke chapter 10, the passage we're going to be looking at for a little while. And I want to read this. This happened to Jesus. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 25. It says, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied, do this and you will live." So this is a really big time command we've got here. We're saying, this is, Jesus is saying, hey, this is the biggest thing you need to get straight. Love God with everything. Love him with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind. So it's important that we catch this and know it well. I want to start with the heart because it gets confusing. The heart and the soul, aren't those kind of interchangeable? Are those the same thing? So if I were to say, hey, you love God with all your heart, or if I were to say, you love God with all your soul, aren't we kind of saying the same thing? But there's some difference here, and I want to talk about some of this difference today. So we're going to just tackle the heart. We're going to talk about what it is to love God with all your heart. Now, let's start with this. The Greek word there is cardia, kind of where we get cardio for the heart. And to describe this the best I can, that Greek word literally means the center of something. It means the middle, where things flow from, just like your heart. It's the center of who you are. If you had a bullseye on you, and I were to shoot an arrow and I hit the bullseye, that's your heart. It's the center. It's where everything else flows from. The rest of your life is directed from your heart. If your heart's set right, everything else is set right. Another way we may look at this is like, who knows who Joey Chestnut is? Okay, First Service is a lot groovier than the Second Service, guys. You have, one, they outnumber you, and two, a lot more people knew who Joey Chestnut was. Joey Chestnut is the reigning hot dog eating champion. July 4th, 2018, Joey Chestnut, in the span of 10 minutes, ate 74 hot dogs. Amazing. I watched the YouTube clip. You can get on there. Just prepare to be grossed out. It's a disgusting sight to watch that man suck down hot dogs. But when you're watching him do that, you realize that guy's got heart. It's not just stomach. That man has heart. I mean, just like if we watch someone running a marathon and they're injured and they're just going and going and going, oftentimes we say to that person, they've got hearts. We see someone that sticks it out in a tough situation. We gladly look at them with appreciation and say, they have hearts. We never say that as a slight or a backhand. You've got heart. It's a compliment. And what we're saying is, man, someone's got some direction, some stick-to-itiveness, man. They go for it. Now, if you think that Joey Chestnut just had heart that day, like, ooh, I've got heart. Let me get up there and eat hot dogs. That is not at all what happens. That man trains all year long to be able to put those hot dogs down. No lie. He literally trains body fat off so there's no more room for his belly to expand. Have you never ever noticed there's not a fat guy up there winning? Belly fat gets in the way. So these guys train all year long. They practice eating. They practice swallowing hot dogs. They practice getting rid of belly fat. All year long, there's a focus in their life so that we can look at them suffering through this hard thing and say, ooh, he's got heart. Well, there was direction there. So I want to talk today, how do you develop heart for God? How do you love God with your whole heart? What is it for someone to look at your life and say of you, they could look at you and say, hey, that person has heart. That person's got it. I want to start with this to explain some of the differences. I'm going to use an analogy for the rest of the day. Imagine that a heart is a boardroom. It's a meeting room where big decisions are made. I once was in a place where our boardroom had a mission statement on the wall in our boardroom, and it was there in hopes that when you sat down and you deliberated things and you came to a decision, it would be made with the mission statement on the wall, helping guide and direct our decisions focused towards what we were about. And imagine today that our heart is that boardroom. And on the wall of your heart or on the wall of your boardroom is a mission statement that you've put up there. For us today, we would like to follow what Jesus said and love God with all your heart. Just say that's what's supposed to be on the wall of your heart. Now, who shows up at this meeting in this boardroom? Well, there are characters that show up like your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Circumstances show up. Input shows up. Your work week, they show up into this boardroom. And now you've got a decision to make and you're debating. And the will saying, no, we need to do it this way. And your emotions, I just can't do it. I don't want it. I'm tired. And then other things that came into your mind are saying, no, really, be selfish this time, man, because you don't have enough money. And at the end of this thing, you make a decision, and sometimes those decisions are disastrous. Why? Because at some point, we put up a different mission statement. Now, it's so important. If the heart is the center, it directs all these other things. The heart is that place that is set towards a direction. And no matter what the input, decisions may be different, but it's moving towards a certain place that glorifies and honors God, that says, I love God. This decision reflects a love for God. The problem is oftentimes, instead of having love God on our wall, there's fear. And we begin to make decisions based out of fear. And we're like, oh, I'm really afraid of that. And so the will shows up, the mind shows up, your emotions show up. And you begin to deliberate. But your mission statement doesn't say love God. It says fear. Or maybe it says something like hurt. And then all your decisions are made out of hurt or fear. Or maybe it's selfishness. Maybe like you're just into like preserving yourself and you want to get as much out of life as you can. And it says self on your wall. And therefore, when you deliberate, the direction, the decisions of your life have this tint towards fear or hurt or selfishness. Maybe it's pride. But I've learned in my life that it's very easy for people that attend church year in, year out, get nowhere, make terrible decisions, have no fruit in their lives, and it's because their heart's set wrong. Somewhere along the line, they're good people, they're for God, they're not out burning their Bibles or saying they hate church, but somewhere along the line, Somebody took the mission statement of love God that helps inform your decisions, and they put something else up there. And the truth is today, you even struggle knowing what's on the wall of my heart. You know that your relationship with God isn't satisfying. You know you're not being fulfilled. You know you're making bad decisions. So how do we set our hearts towards God in such a way to make decisions and have a direction that honors Him and blesses our life? Let's look at what the Bible has to say about the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9, verse 9 through 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Your heart, my heart, is deceitful. How many have ever lied to themselves? Come on, get your hands up. You're lying to yourself right now. We lie to ourselves all the time about stuff. It's okay, I'll justify it. If Cindy were a nicer wife, I wouldn't need to eat so much. We justify garbage all the time. It's because our hearts are deceitful. They're beyond cure, the Bible says. And he says, who can understand it? The crazy truth is, when I say, hey, you got wrong messages on your heart, and you're sitting here thinking, okay, what's the message? What's your message? I'll promise you this, most of us can't figure it out. All you know is you're not in a good place. Because who can understand the heart? Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. So the Lord knows the heart. He can search the heart. Here's what the psalmist wrote. Search me, God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's an offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God searches the heart. Matthew 15, 17, Jesus said this, don't you see that whatever enters a man's mouth into the stomach, then that goes into a man's mouth and to the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come from out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these things defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. So Jesus is saying, hey, if you're acting wrong, here's one of his search methods. If you're acting wrong, it's not because you're not following the rules. It's not because you skipped church. It's because you got a bad heart. You got a heart problem. You let something else get on the wall of your heart. And some of you are believers in here, and you have wrong messages written on the wall of your heart. And Jesus is saying, the reason there's messed up behavior, the reason there's problems, the reason there's a lack of satisfaction isn't but anything but your heart. How can we discern this? Well, we go to the Lord because He's the one that searches the heart. I would hate to sit around and be like, okay, let's figure out what's in our hearts. That'd be such a waste of time. I don't want to even hear it. But God can search my heart. He knows what's there. God can run through my files and expose where I'm at, expose where I'm selfish, expose where I'm fearful. God's able to do that. So if God can search the heart, how do we change the heart? This is a good one. I'm not going to show hands today, but some of us know right now, today, your heart's not where it needs to be. You're a good person. I'd even say you love God. But somehow or another, something else crept up on your wall and it's causing you problems. You're not loving God with all your heart. David said this, create me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Ezekiel wrote this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And Paul wrote this, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. See, in this first passage with David, King David, he had a wrong message on his heart at some place. This is a man after God's own heart. He wrote a bunch of the great psalms that we love. As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. He wrote all these great psalms. And at some point, David got lazy and he got casual in his walk and he got apathetic. And next thing you know, David's not going out to fight like God had gifted him to do. He's sitting around on a rooftop looking at ladies take baths. A wrong message got on his heart. Maybe it was a message of, I deserve something different. Maybe it was a message that said, relax, take it easy. Maybe it was fear. I don't want to go fight anymore. Whatever it was, something wrong got in his heart. And before you knew it, he commits adultery and murders her husband. He went to a terrible place till confronted. And his response is written right here. He says, Lord, you create in me a new heart. He didn't say, God, I'm going to try harder now. I'm going to make my heart new. No, he went to God and he says, God, you created me a new heart. You renew my spirit. He asked God to give him a work. Ezekiel comes along later in history and says, from God, he says, I'm going to put a new spirit in you. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone so you have a chance of loving me. He's saying this to Israel, his people, people that once were passionate for God, once pursued God, once would die for his cause, and now we're just so off key that God says, you can't follow it on your own. I'm going to do a work in your heart. I'm going to make you new. I'm going to make you new. David, I'm going to renew you. Paul says, anyone in Christ, he's a new creature. Guys, only Jesus can renew your heart. Only Jesus can make you new. Refuse to live with a heart that has wrong messages, with a heart that leads you to bad decisions, where your emotions and other things are out of whack. Let God work in you. How do we keep a good heart? I love the verse that says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else. That means above everything. It says, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Other version says, for it's the wellspring of your life. So let's say you're exposed with a faulty heart and the Lord shows up and he restores that heart. And then how do we keep it straight? How do we make sure decisions flowing out of this stay right? It says guard. How do I guard? How do I guard my heart? How do you guard your heart? How many have been a terrible heart guard? I have been. I'm not going to lie. I've like, man, my heart's right. And then someone cuts me off. I hope you die. You know, where did that come from? Terrible heart guard sometimes. I love what Philippians says, chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends, it outdoes, it goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Man, this promises that when we're anxious and when things go wrong and when we're hit with that decision, and the will shows up in the board meeting of your heart, and the mind and the emotions are right there, and there's this debate, what do I do? Where do I go? Do I stay with her? Do I leave her? Do I quit my job? Do I stay with my job? Do I hate this friend? Do I forgive this friend? What do I do? When that happens, the Bible says, don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition. This all goes right back to God does the work. When we come to the Lord and say, God, I've got a decision to make, he'll guard your heart and your minds, the peace that passes all understanding, that's bigger than the circumstance. And then God's able to keep the message on the wall of your heart right. And you're able to make really cool decisions that have defined history, that have defined God's victorious people through the ages, that have said, you know what? I've got this direction set. I may not be perfect. I may go through the same difficulties you go through, but my life is firmly set. I love God. It's burned on the walls of my heart. And I go to the God and he protects it and he keeps it there. And I've taken off other messages that destroy me and ruin others and take from my life. But I love God. And I don't care if it costs me. I don't care what. I love God. And no one can keep that message there but you. You have to yield yourself to him. You have to come to him and say, God, you search my heart. God, you renew my heart. God, you guard my heart. And before long, you'll find yourself walking day after day after day in a direction that starts to bring glory and honor to God. It's for his glory and for your good. You start to see the goodness of God at work, and you start wondering, you might start even thinking, I'm really smart. Well, you're not that smart. You just got a good mission statement on your heart. And that'll take you places that you could never imagine you could go. Today, I want to challenge you. Let God search your heart. You can't figure it out. When you start to figure out your heart, I said last week, we start pointing fingers. It's her fault. It's his fault. Let God search your heart. We're going to receive communion this morning. And I think this is so appropriate. I'm going to ask the ushers to go and start passing out the elements. You're going to receive a cup and a piece of bread. And this is important in Christianity because this is where we have peace with God. This is how that mission statement is written on our heart. I love God. 1 John says, it's not that we love God, it's that he first loved us. And this is how we know that. This is the demonstration. This is the show and tell where God sent his own son to die for your sins while you were still sinners. And what does this have to do with the heart? It has everything to do with the heart. Without accepting what Jesus did on the cross, we're desperately lost and we have no hope of salvation. We have no hope of a new day. With accepting the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again, we can have forgiveness. When David wrote that, against you and you only have I sinned. And when he came back later in Psalms 51, he says, create in me a clean heart. There's this beautiful promise where because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we can have a clean heart today. We can be new. We can be free. Some of us in this room, you've kind of felt like your heart's been dry and dusty so long, you don't know if you can experience God in a significant way, or maybe you've never experienced him. But can I tell you, this promise is for you today. That God will renew your heart. Whether you've never trusted him or you've trusted him before, but somewhere along the line, things just went askew. Maybe just 2 degrees, but that's enough to send you in a wrong direction. In Ezekiel chapter 37, there's this great thing that goes on. God takes Ezekiel to a valley of death. It's the valley of dry bones. And there are thousands of dry bones laying in this valley where there was once a battle. And they're bleached out. They're not even corpses. They're just completely gone, dead, bleached out bones. And God comes to Ezekiel in verse 3 of chapter 37, says, and he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. God's always showing off that he's able to take the things that are dead in our life and make them alive. And make them vibrant again. And it's through the cross. And I'd like to say to some of you today that God would breathe on you and make you come to life. And erase some of the things that have been on your heart that you don't even know are there. Let's pray. Lord, as we hold this cup that represents your shed blood and this piece of bread, these symbols are your broken body and your shed blood. And Lord, you bought us the victory. Lord, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved or will come to life. And Lord, today, believers, unbelievers alike, Lord, we turn our hearts towards you. We ask you to search us. And we ask you to make us new because of what Jesus did for us. Because he is our victory. And in his name, there's forgiveness. In his name, there's healing. In his name, there's life. And I, Lord, I pray that life would break out in this room. I pray, God, that forgiveness would break out in this room. Lord, create new hearts. As we hold this cup, we recognize, Jesus, that you really came. This isn't a fairy tale or a fable, but you actually walked this earth and did what you did, and your body was broken for us. We acknowledge that. We receive this cup together. I mean the bread. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we hold this cup that represents your shed blood. And your word says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness, Lord. But you have shed your blood. And we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish. And we thank you for that, Lord. As we receive this cup, would you just wash sins away? Would you clean the messages on the wall that don't belong? And would you write, I love God, on there? Let's receive the cup together. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, you're our victory. You're our great hope. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Guys, God's good. What we deserve isn't what we get. Now, I want to tell you something. The enemy's a liar. He's going to tell some of you, that meant nothing. No, you let him know. No, that means everything. Jesus died for me. And he washes every stain, every spot, including things that are in my heart that don't belong. The Bible says that he's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe he writes on our hearts that Scripture says he's engraved Israel in the palm of his hands. Their walls were always before him, and he engraves you in the palm of his hand. You're his, you belong to him. And as his children, you have to believe that what God forgives, it's forgiven. And then we walk out in this mode. Okay, God, you've renewed my heart. Now guard my heart. You guard my heart. You guard my family. You guard the things that are around me. You guard the callings you have on my life. You guard my heart. Now, when that begins to wane, you run right back to God. I talked about last week, passion is your job. I'm not fat because of LA Fitness. You're not dead because of Crossings. You did that yourself. You go after God. You get after him. You seek him. And you come to him and say, God, you guard my heart and you put a passion in me that will freak the world out. Let me burn bright for you. People around you need that. They need that desperately. A right heart. A right heart. We stand, oh, stop. In the bulletin, Because I want to do something practical here. Sometimes we're like, yay, and we run out the locker room like, okay, what do I do? I want to do something super practical here. Call this training. We're training right now. We're training for godliness, which is more important than physical training. So get your bulletins out. And in your bulletins, there are some steps that I want you to take as believers. If you're serious about guarded heart or training for Jesus at all, we're going to do this together this week. I'll do it. I want you to do it. Meditate on Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 9. That's that passage I read. Man, as believers, we should be throwing the word of God down. We should have this in our hearts. Write it on a note card. Put it on a refrigerator. Have it in your car. Be serious. Don't tell me you're a serious Christian and you're not even going to train this week. It'd be like someone comes in, I'm a serious powerlifter. I haven't lifted in 3 months. I'm like, no, you're a joke. You're a couch potato. As believers, we train. Amen? Oh, come on. As believers, we train. Amen? Thank you, guys. So read these few verses. They will help you. The other thing I'd love to challenge you to do is we have study questions made up every single week off of messages. So I want you to take time and go study those questions. They're discussed in small groups, but they're arranged in such a way where anyone could just dig a lot deeper in this topic, and they'll be posted tomorrow morning. You can go to crossingschurchaz.org, look for the little question link at the bottom of the page, go there and just work on them. Get your Bible out and study. How do I serve God with my heart? And then if you've not been baptized, you need to do it. Why? Because when you get your heart right, here's the joy. When my heart's right, I see what Jesus is doing. I hear from Jesus. And it's fun. He leads you to certain things. And your whole job as a Christian is to obey Him. Obey Jesus. That's what it boils down to. Baptism, after you're saved, the Bible says repent and be baptized. So after you've accepted Jesus to write the mission statement on your heart, the next step is like, I'm going to get baptized. Why? Because the Bible asks us to. It's a no-brainer. It's easy. Like, you can obey Jesus. You don't have to. It's right there. So if you want to get baptized, write that on your card. Drop it in the basket as you leave. We're going to pray for needs. If you've got needs, we pray for those on Mondays. So I just thank you guys for training with me spiritually. Amen? We're not alone in this. Will you stand with me? Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for these people, Lord. I pray you would bless them. I pray, God, that our hearts would be pointed in your direction and that you would cause us to walk with you in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Crossings Church podcast. We meet at Desert Edge High School on the northwest corner of Yuma and Estrella Boulevard in Goodyear, Arizona. Our service times are 9 o'clock and 10:30. Do you have kids? Bring them to our kids' service at 10:30 a.m. You can find us at www.crossingschurchaz.org. Thank you for listening to this week's message. God bless and have a great week.